first time we did it, I was scared to death. She snuck out in that cotton dress. Jumped on in and we drove to the lake. Put her hand on my knee and said, I can't wait. I had everything we needed in the bed of my truck. Turns out my baby loves to fish. She wants to do it all the time. Early in the morning, in the middle of the night. She's hooked and now she can't get enough. Man, that girl sure loves to fish.
My name is Alex, and as always, we have Heather.
Hi.
Dee.
Hey, hello.
Jeannie.
Hey, hey.
And today we have a special guest.
Her name is Betty Stogler from the Charlotte County Sea Grant Extension. She's a Charlotte County Sea Grant Extension agent with Sea Grant Florida and the University of Florida.
Go Gators!
Betty, welcome.
That's right.
Thank you.
Welcome to Fishy Radio. What current projects are you working on?
Well, we just finished up our annual seagrass monitoring, so we did Upper Charlotte Harbor in April and again in July, and I've got, 12 different volunteer teams, about 33 volunteers that go out and help me do that, and then this Saturday we're getting ready to do our annual Great Bay Scallop and Hard Clam Search in Lemon Bay and Gasparilla Sound.
Hmm. Yeah, very cool.
It is.
Yeah. How big of areas do you are you looking at when you're looking at the seagrass?
We do. It's just a small area, so we do 50 meters, which is roughly 150 feet, and along that distance, we put down a square 6 times. So yeah. We're really just getting a snapshot in different locations.
Okay.
So there's like 10 sites, I think, on the east side of Charlotte Harbor from Ponce de Leon Park down to Burnt Store Marina, and then there's another, 15 sites that go around Hog Island and down the west wall to Cape Hayes Point.
Are they visible to boaters?
They're not permanently marked.
Okay.
So the only thing visible is when we're standing in the water.
That's good.
Why are you studying the harbor?
So we started this project because there's a lot of concern that macroalgae, which is your seaweed, your drift algae, that we're starting to see shifts where we have more algae, and there's concern that that could be having an impact on the seagrass that grows underneath it, because algae shades out seagrass. It competes for resources. It mm-hmm. can also suck the oxygen out of the water. And so we really wanted to get a handle on what's happening throughout the year. So we chose April because that's when the macroalgae tends to be the greatest abundance. And then again in July we go out because that's when seagrass is growing. And then when we're all done sampling, the Charlotte Harbor Aquatic Preserves goes out, and they do fall monitoring to capture seagrass at their highest abundance. So it gives us 3 different windows to be looking at what the dynamics are between macroalgae and seagrass, yeah. and whether we should be concerned, and if there's a specific area that we should be concerned about. And then we can look at that area more in depth and find out, you know, what we need to be doing to kind of reverse the trend.
I'm not really familiar with seagrass and algae being new down to Florida.
Okay.
Is algae just the, like, kind of gooey stuff that floats on the top of the water?
No. So seagrass are rooted plants.
Okay.
They have roots that go down into the substrate. They grow a lot like the grass in your lawn along a rhizome.
Mm-hmm.
So they need sunlight to mm-hmm. be able to photosynthesize. So they have to have clear enough water to be able to reach the sunlight. The macroalgae that we're talking about, typically a lot of it does have like a hold fast. It's not rooted, but it will hold on to the sediments. But even if it breaks free, it can tumble around. Some of it doesn't even have a hold fast. It just kind of grows and blossoms, and it turns into, like, it looks kind of grassy, and some of it looks like string. And it sits on top of the seagrass, so it's generally not floating. There is floating algae, sargassum, which is a real concern along the East Coast and down into the Keys, that floats on the surface. It has air bladders to keep it up. But the algae that we're looking at is what we would refer to as benthic, or on the ground, on the sediments.
Okay.
Hmm. So they're competing resources. They both photosynthesize, but one just needs less nutrients, needs clearer waters, and is a sign of good water quality. And the other one is important until you have too much of it, and then it becomes a sign of maybe declining water quality.
You can probably have too much seagrass as well, couldn't you?
Not really. Seagrass, the habitat, the sediment and the amount of light is going to determine how much seagrass you have. Mm-hmm. And we know that we've lost seagrass from historic levels. Prior to development in Charlotte Harbor, we had much more seagrass. Some of it, you know, we've lost because of dredging projects or docks. We'll never get that back. But then other seagrass we lost simply because of water quality declines and not having enough light available to the seagrass.
Talking about dredging, I was kind of curious what your thoughts were on, like, the Sunseeker project and the new canals going in between Vivante and, I think,
Poacher's Cuts off of Alligator Creek.
Yeah, the new canal that they're going to put into Alligator Creek for the bird area of PGI. How much disruption does that cause to the seagrass?
So the only one that I'm super familiar with is the Poacher's Cut one. That one's going into Alligator Creek. That is in an area where there is no seagrass currently.
Okay.
The biggest disruption there is to mangroves. There's quite, I don't know what the extent of the mangroves is, but there is a cut through the mangroves. And so that will certainly be disruptive to that environment. There's already boat access through there, through Poacher's Cut. That's been there historically. There was a natural cut, and then it connected to a mosquito ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you dredge, there's an impact. Mm-hmm. But as far as changing in water quality and changing in water flow, the thought is that it's not going to be significant. I'm not a hydrologist, so that gets a little bit outside of my area of expertise as far as how it's going to shift the water movement and those types of things, whether it would have impacts to fishes. Of course, all of those are a concern. We're fortunate that the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission has been doing fish surveys in Alligator Creek as part of another project, actually, but we have a nice data set to where we can see if those changes occur. And hopefully if those changes occur, then they can mitigate in some way. But, of course, you know, once you dredge, you dredge.
Yeah.
So it's
altering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
have a question. Okay, so this year particularly, shrimping, commercial shrimping, we have noticed where places that never had grass, three, 4 years of just completely bald, mostly in Mount Lachey Pass and even towards the tip of Boquilla, I'd say.
Okay.
But this year, like 3 or 4 years of nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden this year,